So Dr. Vassilakis says that the way the game works is that research funding follows emergencies rather than preceding them. The WHO, in declaring the Zika outbreak to be a global health emergency this month, is now opening a spigot on just such funding. It also sounded the media sirens.
The World Health Organization has officially pushed the crisis button on Zika.
The last emergency declaration like this, the Ebola outbreak in 2014, that crisis killed 11,000.
Christian Lindmeyer is spokesperson for the WHO. Christian, welcome to On the Media.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
WHO has declared a global health emergency only three times before this. Why Zika and why now?
The very important thing here is the possible connection between microcephaly and Guillain-Barré and Zika. Zika alone was not ground enough to declare a public health emergency. It is this presumed association with those two heavy defects. If there is a link, and it looks like there could be, then scientific efforts need to be really ramped up to determine what the possible link is, what the possible causes and effects are. With this expert opinion by the emergency committee, this committee recommended to call for a public health emergency of international concern.
When Ebola was in the news, WHO was buffeted by criticism that it was acting too slowly in declaring an emergency and that precious time was lost. Is Zika and your action a political reaction to the criticism from last time around?
Both WHO and the whole world have learned from Ebola, I think. A lot of factors were criticized in the various reports. Transparency, political will, lack of action, and so on and so forth. So all these factors play together in an emergency, and declaring a public health emergency now had, amongst others, also the role to invigorate this political will, to get the budget, to finance the research, to sensitize public health authorities of this new virus and the possible risks associated with it.
If your goal is to call more attention to Zika in order to increase the amount of political will and the potential funding for studying the virus, well done. That has happened. Zika is omnipresent in the media around the world. There's also something of a panic going on, much as there was a panic going on during the Ebola outbreaks, when the actual risk outside of Africa was minimal, verging on trivial. How do you weigh when the disadvantages of a big media splash outweigh the advantages?
That is a good question. The point here is that a lot of unknowns around Zika virus, very much losing the touch with what it is, which is why we need to act fast and get the right information to people in order to assure mothers, assure travelers, and assure, of course, populations living in mosquito-infected areas and advise them what best to do and how to go about.
I want to ask you one more thing about WHO institutionally. You speak English as a second language, or since you're Swiss, actually probably your fourth language. But are you familiar with the expression damned if you do and damned if you don't?
Absolutely am, yes.
Is that what you all say to one another whenever a virus gets on the move, that you will be criticized for acting, you will be criticized for waiting, and there's no way to know what's the correct action until long after this stuff has played out?
Well, hindsight, of course, always makes an evaluation easier. But what went into this discussion is mainly the insecurity in people traveling or countries where travelers brought back a single Zika infection. People didn't know what this means. Now we have another virus. People still have Ebola in mind, as you just rightfully mentioned. So the fear in front of any new virus is still huge. So the question wasn't so much damned if you do, damned if you don't. It was more guided by we need to get the right information first together and then find the right means to inform the people and to develop a vaccine or means against this virus.
What do you think journalists should keep in mind when covering Zika or similar viral outbreaks?
To make the difference between the condition of microcephaly, the syndrome of Guillain-Barré, and the Zika virus. yes, they might well be related, but we need to not forget Zika itself as a mild virus. And if Zika was the only reason to declare a public health emergency, then we should have long time declared a public health emergency on malaria, on dengue, on chikungunya, and so on and so forth. So this is not our real concern. And this I find very important to separate those two to three issues we have here. Yes, there might well be a link, and that link we need to look at. But to make that distinction is highly important.
Christian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Christian Lindmeier is Communications Officer at the World Health Organization. He spoke with us from Geneva.
Coming up, Zika has launched a debate in Brazil about abortion. A similar outbreak in the U.S. back in the 60s did the same for us.
This is On the Media.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.